for this morning is taken from the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter, beginning with verse 17. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Last May, soon after school let out, a couple weeks after that, I was standing at a graveyard in Norway in the rain. It was the home church of my great-grandfather, who came over to America when he was about the age of a freshman in college in the 1860s. And it was raining that day, and that graveyard, which is where my Molstead side came from, is full of gravestones marked with the names of Molsteads. Nothing like being around a bunch of dead Molsteads. My wife laughed at me because I was running around trying to take as many pictures in the rain as I could of all my dead relatives. So my great-grandfather, when he was about 18 or so, came over here to the United States, moved first to Iowa, went back to Norway a couple years later, and met his wife from that same church and community, and then came back and lived near Madison, Wisconsin. I never met my great-grandfather. He died young. I never met any of my great-grandparents. But I do know this about them. And I know this about my great-grandfather. He was very evil. He was very wicked. And I know that for three reasons. The first reason I know is because he's dead, along with all of my great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents. The book of Ezekiel says, "The soul who sins is the one who will die." James says this, "Sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." So I first of all know that about my distant relatives just because they're dead. And secondly, I know of it because I know I'm full of sin. I know that I have evil thoughts inside of me. And I know what my sinful, wicked mind can be like sometimes. The Bible tells us by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, and so death was passed to all men, all people, because all have sinned. And so taking pictures of my dead relatives' graves and knowing what's inside of me tells me that my great-grandfather was a wicked man, was an evil, wicked man. In the text in front of us, God talks to us about Abraham, great father of the nation of Israel, the one through whom the Messiah would come. And we know that Abraham was very evil for a number of reasons. First of all, he's dead. The Bible tells us that his grave is in the cave of Machpelah. So we know that Abraham was evil. We also know, the Bible tells us, that Abraham worshipped idols at one point in his life, false gods, not the true God of Scripture. But God also chose Abraham out of that unbelief and wickedness and evil. God chose him to become a believer. He gave him the gift of faith. Faith that would trust in the coming Messiah that actually would come through his descendants, through his own family line. And someday, from that family line, would come the birth of the Savior, who has now been made manifest to the world, as we think about in the season of Epiphany. And we're told that God gave Abraham that faith. He put that faith in his heart to cause him to hold on to the Christ who had not yet come, the coming Messiah. And we're told in Scripture that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. That's an amazing thing. Just by believing the promise of the Messiah, or for us today, believing Christ and what he's done for us, by simply grabbing that with your heart by faith, It gets credited to you by God that you're perfect. That's amazing. It's credited to you from God, not because of something you've done or I've done. Look at our lives. But it's been credited to us. Like someone else's grade got put on your report card. It's been credited to us from God that when we believe in Christ, we're perfect in God's eyes. We are saints and holy. And that means we can be absolutely positive we get to go to heaven through that faith. That's an amazing thing. Now, Abraham didn't have this in himself at all. He was wicked and evil. He was an idol worshiper. But God put it in him. The text before us says that God knew him, and that's what it means. To know him means to elect him, to choose him. Now, God gave Abraham this faith not only to get him to heaven someday, not only to bring the Messiah through his family line, but there's something else in our text that I want you to notice. I'm going to read the passage again. God says about Abraham, "For I have known him," that means to elect him in faith, "I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him that they keep the way of the Lord." Did you catch that? I have known him. I've given him faith in order that, one of the reasons is, that he may command his children after him to preserve this faith. When God calls people into the kingdom of grace, to believe in Christ so they can go to heaven, to give them that perfect righteousness, he does it not just for their good. When he's done that to you to become a Christian, he did that not just for your good, for you to go to heaven someday. Yes, that's the greatest. But he did it also so that you could teach your kids. He did it so you could pass this faith on in your family and to those who are in your household, just like Abraham did. The third reason why I know that my great-grandfather was wicked and evil is because he loved Christ. And because he, by his heart and faith and life, expressed how tightly he needed to hold on to a Savior. I didn't know him. I never knew him. But today I get to live in the glow, the afterglow of his faith that was passed down in my family. One time I asked my dad, I said, "Where did this faith in our family come from? Where did this come from? Where did it start?" And he told me, "Well, back in Norway, your great-great-grandfather loved Christ, and he made sure that his son, your great-grandfather, loved Christ. And then your great-grandfather made sure that his kids loved Christ," so that would be your grandfather. "And your grandfather made sure that his kids loved Christ, and that would be me, and I'm trying to pass it on to you." It's like pouring water from one cup to the next, generation after generation, this wonderful, precious faith that we've been given. And I know my sinful heart has tried to empty that cup, has tried to get rid of that faith because of my wicked, evil heart, but somehow by God's wonderful grace working in me and through me, by his word and sacrament, he's managed to retain that even to this day inside of me. Now, this is not unique to my family and to my family tree. This is the primary way that the Holy Christian Church gets passed on from generation to generation, right down to us. The vast majority of us sitting in this sanctuary today are products of the fact that our parents, grandparents, and maybe great-grandparents loved Christ and saw such a great need for him. So here's the question for you as you look forward in your life. Will you be the branch in your family spiritual tree that dies so that the children coming from you no longer see a need for this Savior and a love for his word? Or will you be a living branch that keeps that faith alive and makes sure to pass it on to your children? You will probably in your life do no greater work for the kingdom of God than what you do sitting at your dinner table and when you put your kids to bed at night. There is probably no higher work that you will do for God's kingdom than that. May God grant all of us the wisdom of faith, not only to appreciate the Savior we have and his righteousness that takes us to heaven, but to stir up our hearts of faith to make sure to bring this to the next generation. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Today we offer a prayer on behalf of Professor Nick Kaminsky, who has been hospitalized over the Christmas break with bleeding on the brain. He's presently hospitalized at St. Mary's in Rochester and in very serious condition. Gracious Father in heaven, we give you thanksgiving for sparing Nick's life through this tragic episode and for now providing him with such excellent medical care. Through the efforts of his doctors, we ask that you would continue to strengthen him in body and mind. Comfort Nick and the members of his family with your presence through your word. Teach all of us to number our earthly days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And we ask this all through the work of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.